Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
And here we are, Christmas Eve, and I believe it's a time for us to take some moments to pause and reflect. You know, it can get so busy as we head into the Christmas season. I don't have to convince you of that because we all get it, right? The frantic shopping to get the things that you need and then wrapping everything up. And I don't know about you, but I think that the guy or the lady who invented the gift bag should get like an extra present this year. I'm just saying. How many of us guys are like, we don't even know what wrapping paper is anymore? We don't even, like, does it exist? I don't even know. We got the gift bag, throw some tissue paper in there, and you're like, boom, done. Merry Christmas. I love it. Well, last Sunday, my daughter and I went out shopping, and our mission was for me to start and finish my Christmas shopping that afternoon. And mission accomplished. We did that in a couple hours. It was great. But there was one store that we went to that was just especially crazy. And maybe you were in that store on that day. It was just insane. People were everywhere. And it's not like people were rude. I didn't see that at all. But just there were a ton of people packed into a little area. And we're going through aisle after aisle and picking out a couple things here and there. And actually ran across some of you, part of this church, doing your last minute Christmas shopping as well. There's one lady in particular, one of our friends who attends this church. And I went up to her and the first thing she said is, "Can you take my daughter home?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And she said, I guess what had happened is her daughter just kept complaining about being tired about shopping. And I'm thinking, is that how easy it is? If I go shopping with my wife and all I have to do is complain and she's going to get someone to give me a ride home, I'm like, man, mark that one down. Wow. Well, I didn't give the daughter a ride home, but I did encourage her in that when we walked into that very same store, I complained about being tired right when I walked in. My daughter could corroborate that story. Well, we got our things, we got into the line, and we went through the line, ton of people, waited for a while, paid for our items, and then we were walking out, and there were just a number of cashiers, and when we were almost to the door, the very last one said, "Hey, how you doing?" And I looked over, and I recognized her as a student that I really haven't seen for a few years, and she looked at me, and I was like, "Hey, how are you doing?" And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I can't imagine working here today, because it was just crazy in there. And she looked at me, she's like, "I'm good," and she's like, "Can I have a hug?" And I'm like, "Sure." So she comes out from around the counter and gives me a hug and then goes back to her place there at work. And I think that she was just wanting to hit the pause button and just be like, "I need like some love just for a moment." And I think that's what it is for us around this time of year, is just to hit the pause button, and maybe we could even do that in the next few moments, hit the pause button and just reflect on how great God is. I mean, to reflect on the fact that he sent his son 2,000 years ago to this place and fulfilled hundreds of Old Testament prophecies to a T, being born in Bethlehem, living a sinless life, healing people, willingly giving himself to die on the cross, rising again after 3 days, everything just like had been prophesied. And he did that for us. I mean, what happened 2,000 years ago is a really, really big deal. Really big deal. When you consider how hopeless really our lives can be at times and how hopeless our earth is, that God would send his son to come to this place. I mean, can you imagine having been there? Can you imagine having been one of the people who were blessed to have been there on that majestic night? I mean, the shepherds were. They got front row seats. I don't know how they got those tickets. I mean, I can't imagine how much they cost. I'm joking, but I mean, I can't imagine. What did they do to get there? To get on the front row to see what was happening and for heaven to appear to them. And really, these shepherds are kind of misunderstood, I think, as we look back 2,000 years ago to what took place. I think that some people mistakenly deify them, like make them out to be more than they really were. Like they must have been super powered shepherds or just graduating the top of their class or whatever it is for God to pick them. Like, they must have been pretty special. Well, they weren't. They were just people, but sometimes we do that in the past. We look back at history and like, well, they must have been something extraordinary. I think other people don't just deify them. I think they symbolize them. That we kind of put the shepherds just in the little nativity scene in our house, the little wooden guys right here with the staff, and it's like, oh yeah, there's a little characters in the story. Don't forget the shepherds, you know, they're part of it as well. But these weren't just actors that were going through the Christmas play again. Okay, angel's coming in a minute. All right, we're going to run through this again, all right? You guys swing that around again. Okay, it wasn't like that. And although we deify them, sometimes we symbolize them, we find that these were just ordinary people, like you and like me. Ordinary people that had real problems. And I can say that confidently, that they had real problems because we do, right? I mean, all of us do. We've got issues. And I want you just to encourage the person beside you right now. Could you just look over to the person beside you and just say very nicely, you've got issues. Can you do that right now? Some of you are having way too much fun with that. Some of you have been like, I've been waiting all day. All day. Now, if you're here and this is your first date, I just want to say that is a great way to break the ice. Meeting the family for the first time, go for it. They'll love you. Hey, we've all got issues. There is not one person in this place that's got it all figured out. There's not one person in this place that has a life that's just a breeze. No. We have great days, but we also have challenging days. And I think the shepherds were just the same. They might have just been coming off of a great day, actually. I mean, it's possible that one of the shepherds that day earlier had got down on his shepherd knee and proposed to his girlfriend, and she said yes. And he might have been that night just be like, yeah, who's the man? Pumped about his future. I don't know, but it's very possible that one or more of them had just come off a very challenging day. Maybe, as I think about it, maybe a tax collector had just shown up at his house and he was debating about whether or not to tell his wife that the tax collector came back again, which would happen in that culture at that time, and demand payment or else mafia comes, the mob comes. Like, these were real things that some of these people were dealing with, and we know what it's like to have some family issues and financial issues and health issues because we've got issues. And these shepherds were just real people, okay? They weren't actors. They weren't symbols. They weren't superhuman. They were just people. Real people with real problems wondering if there was real hope in the world. And that's what makes what happened next in their lives, I believe, so incredible. Luke chapter 2, we read, as we even heard on the video a few moments ago, that there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Now, there are some of you that are here today that have heard that Christmas story, the true Christmas account, so many times that you could quote it. You wouldn't even need the Bible in front of you. You could nail it to a T. I mean, we kind of get it, right? I mean, these shepherd people were doing their sheep thing, right? And they were going through life, and then all of a sudden, an angel person dude thing comes out of nowhere and says, "Go to Bethlehem." And they're like, "Okay." And then he and his friends break out in a Christmas carol, the very first one. I mean, we get it. We get it, but I guess my question is, do we really get it? Do we really get what happened here? These people weren't superhuman. They were just people. Real people with real problems, wondering if there was real hope. And then all of a sudden, heaven showed up. Right there in their little field, in their lives, heaven straight up showed up. Now, for all of you serious GPS users, heaven showed up on that day at 31 degrees, 42 minutes, 20.8 seconds north, and 35 degrees, 12 minutes, and 2.3 seconds east. And it was to that exact location on that night that heaven showed up to those shepherds. To those shepherds. I mean, if we look back at the text that I just read a moment ago, you'll see something. The angel of the Lord appeared to them. Get this, the glory of the Lord shone around them. The angel said to them, I bring you good news. The Savior, he's been born to you. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby. Do you get what's happening here? And right over them, then the crowd of angels came together and began to sing. Heaven showed up specifically to them, the shepherds, those guys, just real people. And I think that the significance of what took place that night might mean a little bit more if we zoom out a little bit. You know, the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I love seeing pictures of the earth, don't you? It's just mind-blowing, majestic, beautiful. And I'm not saying I don't think the tridge is cool, okay? And I don't want anybody leaving here saying that I didn't think the tridge is cool. But I'm telling you, if you could be standing on the moon right now, feasting on this view, come on. The earth is amazing in the way that God created it. Perfectly and beautifully designed with land and water and oxygen so that life could live here. And even the exact tilt of our planet at 23 degrees produces seasons. And the experts say this, that if our earth wasn't tilted exactly like it is right now, that ocean vapors would cause vast continents of ice. Now, you'd get your white Christmas, but you probably wouldn't be alive. Minor detail. The earth was perfectly set in place, and it's massive. It is massive. Its weight has been estimated at 6 sextillion tons. I'm going to make sure I say that one right. If you're taking notes, that's a 6 followed by 21 zeros. Yet it's perfectly balanced. And it turns easily on its axis, rotating daily at more than 1,000 miles an hour. Job in the Old Testament, a long, long time ago, one of the ancients, had some great inspired insight. This is what he said. God suspends the earth over nothing. And we see this planet that is 6 sextillion tons seemingly suspended over nothing. And as massive as our earth is, as massive as this earth is, we actually find ourselves on this evening, Christmas Eve, in just one little street corner of the universe. I mean, the universe God made is so massive that we can't use our tape measures and our mile markers to measure it. We have to use something called light years, and that's just to get a grasp as much as we can of the vastness of the universe. And your kids could probably tell you that a light year is the distance that light travels in one Earth year. Well, how fast? Well, light travels at 186,000 miles a second. And if you calculate that over the course of a year, the result is that light travels 5.88 trillion miles a year. And that's our ruler. That's our 5.88 trillion miles a year measuring stick in order to try to get even some semblance of how amazingly massive our universe is. Now, if we zoom out a bit from there, we see one part of our Milky Way in which we live. Now, you can't even see our sun. You're not going to be able to see the Earth there. Our sun is massive and hot, but it's only one little minor star among the 100 billion stars that make up our Milky Way. And the Milky Way is just one galaxy. Scientists say that there are hundreds of billions of other galaxies in our known universe. Dr. David Block, an astronomer in Johannesburg, South Africa, has said that if you counted all the stars just in the Milky Way, and you counted them one per second, it would only take you 2,500 years to count all of the stars just in our Milky Way. Reminds me of Isaiah chapter 40, where it says, "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing." Wow. Now, if we zoom out a little bit more from there, we're going to see a composite pic of the Milky Way. Now, they say that from one side to the other, it's about 100,000 light years across. Now, combining many photographs, NASA believes this is what our Milky Way looks like. Do you see yourself anywhere in that picture? Probably not. We can't even see our solar system in this picture. The psalmist said, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of God's mouth." Whew. Well, to put the grandeur of our Milky Way, which is just one galaxy, if you could just to put that into perspective, scientists write that if the Milky Way was the size of the North American continent, our solar system, not just our Earth, I'm talking about our solar system with all the planets, the sun, all the above, our solar system would be the size of a quarter. Massive. Now, we're going to zoom out as far as we can go, and this is the last one that we'll look at. To my knowledge, this is the farthest that the Hubble Space Telescope has been. It's about 10 to 15 billion light years away, and the farthest area that we've been able to look at is called the Hubble Deep Field. And one of those little tiny dots, not the big ones, I'm talking about the little tiny dots that you can barely see, and if you're over here in this section, you don't even know what we're talking about because you can't see the screen. I apologize for that. But one of those little tiny dots on that picture is our Milky Way. The psalmist wrote, "O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, O God? Human beings that you should care for them?" Valid question. Legitimate question. A God this massive would consider human beings worth anything. I mean, when we zoom out, as far as we've zoomed, we see how big we think God is. We see how massive his creation is, incredible. And when we zoom out, we I think get a greater significance of how mind-blowing it is that God would actually zoom in on that special night 2,000 years ago. And if we zoom back to the composite pic of our Milky Way, filled with hundreds of billions of stars, and then we zoom in to just a part of the Milky Way in which you can't even see our solar system, and then we zoom back into this massive Earth that we call home, massive planet, how incredible it is that God then zoomed all the way in to one little town, one little town nestled on this massive planet and this massive universe. And he did that to some shepherds. He zoomed all the way in, this creator God zooming all the way in to some real people who had real problems, just wondering if there's real hope. And he decided that it was worth it. You know, the message of Christmas is, it's for the beat up and the burnout. You know, this message of Christmas is not for those only who think they have it all together. It's also for those who admit they don't. It's for those of us with weaknesses and vulnerabilities. It's for those of us who are kind of maybe weighed down by what we've done in the past, and maybe the others of us that are anxious about what might happen in the future. And God zooms in. It's for those of us who have disappointed other people this year. Those of us who maybe think we've disappointed God. And God zooms in. To real people with real problems wondering if there's real hope. And he emphatically said to the shepherds, he made sure the wise men understood it. Now he's been on a mission to make sure that we get it. That there is hope. That there is hope. And his name is Jesus, who came 2,000 years ago. That's why the angel said to the shepherds, this good news is going to cause great joy for all the people. Like all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord. He's the King. God himself coming into this world, into our existence, stepping into our world. And no wonder that there are so many of us that get really excited about God. Because we know what the word says, that everyone who believes in God and believes in his son Jesus, who has come to this earth and placed our faith in him and calls out to him, can be right with him, like can be good with God. Knowing with confidence that when we stand before God at the point of our death or when he comes back, whichever happens first, that it's going to be okay. And it's going to be more than okay. Because we're going to be invited into his presence because we've placed our faith in him. No wonder the shepherds responded like they did after they saw Jesus. It says they returned and did what? They glorified and they praised God. They began to spread the word. How can we do anything other than that when we get what God has done for us? That he came. That he died for us. That he invites us into relationship with him. That he actually zooms in on our lives. And for those who are here tonight, that you'd say, yeah, you're in right relationship with God. You have accepted Jesus Christ into your life. He is your Savior. He's the King of your life. He's got the steering wheel of your life. He's leading your life. You are submitting your life daily to him. I want you to be reminded tonight on this Christmas Eve that God zoomed in on your life. I mean, we saw the picture of the Hubble Deep Field. It makes us feel pretty small. It makes us feel really small. But yet God zoomed in, and you know it. If you've come to faith in Jesus, you've experienced his salvation in your life, old things are passed away, the Bible says all things have become new. You kind of get how crazy that is, that God would zoom down into your life and to speak to you. And for those that are here tonight that you would say, you know, I'm not for sure if I'm in right relationship with God. I hope you get this evening in these few moments that we've had together of how big God is. That he breathed the starry host that we saw pictures of with his mouth. Whew. I think many of the stars were created just for fun. Just because he could. This massive God. That actually cares about you. And I want you to know that. That I believe even in this moment, God is zooming down into you, into your heart, into your life. Because he wants you to have an opportunity. The Word of God says that he is not willing that any perish. Any perish. So whether you're 8 or you're 98, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is surrendering your life to Jesus. Jesus is not about me. It's about you. And I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of my grievous sins. Be my Savior and be my Lord. I want to follow you by your grace. And tonight we want to give you that opportunity. Would you just bow your heads? Would everyone just do that for a moment? And giving each person opportunity to kind of search their heart. Recognizing that in this moment God is zooming in on every single one of you because he loves that much. And for those that are here tonight that you'd say, I'm not for sure if I'm in right relationship with God. You have the opportunity to leave this place in right relationship with God. Well, what do I have to sign up for? Well, what do I have to do? What do I have to accomplish? No. It's not like that. You could never earn right relationship with the God who created the universe. He's too holy, perfect. But that's why he zoomed in 2,000 years ago and came. Because he lived a perfect life, he was able to die a death that was the perfect sacrifice for the sin of all humanity. And then he calls us to just place our faith in him. I believe in Jesus. He is the Son of God. I believe that he can forgive me of my sins. And I place my life in his hands to follow him. And Jesus made that possible. For those that are here tonight, whether in the balcony or on the main floor, as heads are bowed, and you would say, I'm not for sure that I'm in right relationship with God, but I want to be. Would you just lift up a hand quickly right now? And I just want to pray with you. You're here. You say, I'm not for sure if I'm in right relationship with God, but I want to be. But I want to be. No one can force you to do this. No one would try to force you to do this. It is a decision that you must make before you pass on. And whether you're 8 or 98, why would you wait till your last day? You don't even know when it is anyway. This opportunity to get into right relationship with God. Just lift up a hand if that's you. It's your desire to come into relationship with God. I'm going to lead in prayer for those that raised a hand. It's a very simple prayer. It's a salvation prayer. It's a prayer of faith. And I just invite those of you that lifted a hand, or maybe you didn't, but you want to be in right relationship with God. As I said, you would just repeat this prayer after me from your heart. And I would like to ask, as this church does often, for those of you who are here that have a relationship with the Lord, and you've been saved, you've accepted Jesus into your life, would you join us in this prayer, just giving courage to those who are praying this prayer for the very first time? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I admit that I have sinned, and I need you to forgive me, to give me a fresh start. I want to be right with you. And so I place my faith in you alone. You are Jesus, the Son of God. And you are now my God. I thank you, Lord, for saving me, for setting me free, and for coming into my life. Amen. Tonight, if you place your faith in Jesus for the first time, I'm telling you, God has plans for you. He loves you so much. When you head into the Christmas day tomorrow, you don't head in the same. Because the Word of God teaches us that when we place our faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, and we call upon him for salvation, he, God, comes into our lives and comes into our hearts. You don't go home tonight alone. You don't go through the rest of this Christmas season alone. God is in you. His presence is in you. His forgiveness is in you. And for those of you that took that opportunity to ask the Lord into your life, whether you're a child, teenager, or adult, I want to say, that there is nothing that pleases God more than when one places their faith in Him. And I encourage all of you that are here that you've been living for the Lord and you're getting ready to finish this year and go into 2019. Remember, what pleases God is faith. So keep trusting Him. Keep believing in Him. I mean, the God who created all of this, the pictures that we've seen this evening, do you think He can take care of you? I believe so. He's that good. And for those who are here that tonight was the first time you prayed that prayer to get into right relationship with God, I just want to ask you before you leave the facility today that you would kind of head through those doors or come around to this area right out in our lobby. We have a Christmas present for you. And it's a present that we believe is going to help you considerably and significantly in the next few days. Don't pass it up. We look forward to seeing you out there in just a few minutes. And as you head out and go through the rest of the Christmas time, and as you finish out this year, let's be a people who don't forget. A people that don't forget. A people that remember. A people that tell others, that tell our kids and tell our grandkids and our nephews and our nieces and our friends that there is hope. And His name is Jesus. We want you to know that we love you. And as we've gone through this year, it's been a joy. It has been a joy to pastor this church filled with people that love God with all their heart, people that love the Word, people that are centered on Jesus, honoring the King, keeping the main thing, and all of us taking our next steps forward as we want to so that our faith grows. We're excited about next year, but until then, we're not there yet. We want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.